lovelies, and welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
It's December, so we are continuing along our Friday the 13th journey with part 3 and also part 4, the final chapter. All of these movies are currently streaming on Amazon Prime and Hulu. So I'm not too worried about spoiling them, but I would recommend watching them because they're just too much fun, especially 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Excited to talk about these guys today. Did you enjoy watching them, Carly?
Sorry, I yawned. Yes. Yeah, these are definitely my favorite ones, but I'll save my specifics.
Yeah, it's just a lot more fun than the other two, I thought.
Oh, totally.
All right, so before we get into that, let's jump into a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Friend Request, directed by Simon Verhoeven. That sounded right. I'm not going to lie.
I think you nailed it.
So he's directed a lot of TV that I've never seen. He's a German actor slash writer, so this is like... He hasn't directed very much before this film, so due for theatrical release sometime in 2017. The date was supposed to be 2016, but it got pushed back. There's no actual date scheduled yet, so who knows?
Who knows if we'll see this movie?
Who knows if we'll ever even get to see it? It's been released in other countries, though, so I'm not sure why the delay here, but I think it looks good.
It looks very similar to Unfriended, but like in college and not just in one place.
It's like if Unfriended and The Ring had a baby.
Yeah.
But I liked Unfriended.
I liked Unfriended too.
And it's different. It looks a little different. You know, it's not just one screen. You know, it's filmed differently. But the CGI is like excessive. I wish that could have been brought down to a minimum.
Yeah.
A lot of CGI in the trailer. A lot of it.
It looks interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Unless you're Guillermo del Toro, I feel weird about so much CGI in a horror movie, but.
I agree. I prefer just doing it with makeup and camera tricks.
Hear that, guys? Carly prefers just doing it.
Yep. With makeup and camera tricks.
I haven't slept. I'm sorry. I just got back from Florida last night, and I'm...
And then she woke up super early today to watch the final chapter.
Because I still didn't watch the final chapter. Yeah, so I'm a little...
I watched it last night, so it's fine.
I apologize for my loopiness in advance and my unpreparedness, which is crazy today. So I'll do my best. I'm doing my best.
It's good. You're good. We're good. Okay. These are easy movies.
We are so professional. We are pros at this.
So, pros.
So anyway, about this trailer, I don't know. I think it looks good. I'll see it. It kind of reminds me of Mike Flanagan's style a little bit.
Yeah. I'll probably see it if it ever comes to theater.
Yeah. If it ever makes it. Yeah. I'm a little bit, because it was supposed to come out. You wanted to do this like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
For Trailer Trash Talk, because it was scheduled for December, and then now it's not.
I think it was originally scheduled for December 9th, so this past Friday.
Yeah, but shit happens, I guess.
Not the case.
Not this time. All right, so I guess we'll hopefully get to visit that
one. So we'll see
one.
About that one, yeah.
I recommend watching the trailer. Let us know what you think. You know, whatever.
Whatever. This is going to be really entertaining today, guys. Both of us are kind of out of it.
Let's talk about this trailer. You know, whatever.
It's fine. I don't know what else to say.
So interesting. Aren't you so glad you're spending your time listening to this educational podcast of awesomeness?
Something's going on in my neighborhood and like the whole, everything's vibrating. But it's not my neighbors, you guys. Because their whole house is wrapped in a tarp for termites or bugs or some kind of fumigation. Yeah, your circus tent.
You'll be
hearing La Cucaracha all throughout this episode.
Fuck. Your neighborhood's so loud.
Oh my God, please.
Move somewhere quieter.
It's so funny because... I was looking, I think it was yesterday, on my Facebook on this day, and then when I first moved here 2 years ago, apparently I complained about the truck playing La Cucaracha constantly. And it made me laugh because I was like,
I don't know why you would could possibly complain about that.
It's like, how funny. It's adorable the first time. But when you're like, why is this person? Because at the time I didn't know it was like a food truck, kind of, or like a grocery truck, whatever.
Right.
So I was like, why is this person just hanging out in my neighborhood, honking their horn every 2 seconds? What is happening? Where have I moved?
Oh, my God.
And now I know.
If you listen carefully, I wasn't quite able to remove it from audio from last week's episode.
You're welcome.
you can kind of hear it in that. I was like, I'm just going to leave it in. I can't get any quieter than that.
It's amazing.
Just going to have to be in there. La Cucaracha. We totally ignored it, too. We did good in ignoring it, but you can just hear it. And it's not just one time. It does it like...
No, I'm telling you.
Five times in a row.
Drives down my street just honking. But instead of honking, oh, it's crazy.
That's what it sounds like.
Time to get your groceries.
Like more like a horn sound. It's kind of nice that you can get your groceries from a truck, though. You're kind of
I've never done it. That's kind of, I don't know.
I think you should. That sounds kind of awesome.
Someday I'll check it out. When I'm just feeling that lazy that I can't drive the mile and a half to Ralph's.
It's like your grocery store comes to you when you don't take advantage of it. I know. It's kind of sad, Carly.
I know. I'm such a brat.
Here we are complaining about the horn, but really, you're ignoring the awesomeness.
But really, I should be celebrating it.
Truck. You really should. You should, like, get up and run outside like it's an ice cream truck. And you
in my PJs with my slipper waving my cash like it's an ice cream truck.
Yeah. Stop! I'm waving your cash for some eggplant.
I need my lettuce.
And a corn.
Yeah.
Possibly tortillas of some sort.
I need to rethink this, clearly.
I think so. I think we need to reevaluate. We are really off topic. Let's get back on topic.
Friday the 13th, part 3.
3D. Guess who watched this in 3D?
I'm so jealous.
I watched it. Oh my God. I don't be. It was giving me a headache. It's so bad. It's not good 3D at all. I was like, wow, 3D's really come a long way. Because this was exciting. And it's horrible.
I mean, you also have to think that those like red and blue or red and green now glasses aren't the best. It's definitely like it wasn't done that way in theaters, I'm assuming. Was it in theaters in 3D?
I think it was supposed to be. I don't know if they ever actually did it or if they only did that like as a limited release.
Yeah.
I should know that. We should have researched it. But like I said, I just got back last night.
Guys, just give us a break.
I couldn't do all the research I wanted to. I did read that it wasn't like they filmed it for 3D and like 3D was a big part of the way they filmed this.
Which is my favorite thing about this movie is like sitting there not watching it in 3D, watching them move the stick into my face.
Okay, wait. I didn't even do the intro for it yet.
Oh. Directed by Steve Miner. You did the other ones, right?
Yeah, go ahead. I did. Friday the 13th, Part 3, from 1982, directed by Steve Miner, the same director as Part 2, screenplay written by Martin Kitrosser and Carol Watson. And Carol was also the writer for Part 4, or a writer for Part 4. There we go. Perfect. Did that. We can start talking now.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. We just said so, yeah, at the same time. I just loved how they spent so much time and energy like making this look cool for 3D.
Like, juggling those oranges. Pointing as many things into the camera as possible.
And my favorite was the yo-yo. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Oh the yo-yo.
I'm telling you, that's probably why this movie is one of my favorites, is because it combines hilarious, awkward 3D elements with a random biker gang. And
no reason for the biker gang whatsoever.
Also Shelly and his amazing afro.
Shelly is horrible.
He's so horrible, and he's the reason why Jason has his mask, though. So, I mean, we have to give him credit for something.
It's true. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, what is with the bikers? I was really confused when they first showed up. I was like, why are there like a bunch of like weird punk rockers in this in this grocery store causing problems.
The world may never know.
It made a little bit more sense when I found out they were bikers, because I was like, okay, maybe they're like driving through. But they also had a very like, this is our territory kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Which was really strange. Usually in the middle of the woods, you don't
have, have that. That's not an issue.
Like, this is our turf. Give me your wallet. So weird. Shelly was such a boss in that scene, though.
Yeah.
Fucking knocking over motorcycles.
I know. Running, escaping in a VW bug.
Yeah. He's rad.
Watch out.
Vera almost wanted the D for a second.
She did. She was like, I do like you, Shelly.
I do, but now I don't because you're an asshole again.
Yeah.
It's like, we like you. We fucking hate you.
I'm
we
so
like
confused.
You. We fucking hate you. Like, he's just trying to, I don't know. He's horrible, though. He really is horrible.
Yeah.
I do like it when they first go to Vera's house to pick her up, and he comes out, and she's like, oh, where's my date? And he's like, it's me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, apologizes.
You're like, oh, poor Shelly. But then you realize that he's just really annoying.
Yeah. So let's talk about how there's actually characters in this movie.
Yes.
With very one-dimensional personalities, but still personalities.
Yes.
You can tell them apart.
I love the guy with the produce stand with all the animals just eating all the produce.
That was very good.
I was like, oh, give me the bunny.
His wife was very angry at him for doing that.
She's grumpy.
She was a little grumpy. He did not care. Just kept on eating it.
He's so happy.
Bunny rabbit.
He's so happy.
He is.
I would be happy too.
Yeah, man. You got a bunny rabbit and all the produce you can eat.
Exactly. There's no problem.
What else is there?
There's no problem there.
What else is there in life? But here's one thing. I have a serious question. In the 80s, because I was born in the 80s, so I don't remember it that well. Did men just not wipe their asses when they took a poo?
I feel like that's not the case.
Because twice in this movie, there's dudes taking a poo and there's no wiping happening. I'm very concerned about it.
Maybe they just didn't really think that out in their acting process.
There's a lot they don't think about in their acting process
maybe,
in these films.
I don't know. I got nothing. I have no excuses.
Why? Because it happens when produce dude is on the John. And then he hears a sound and he gets up. And just gets up. Like nothing happened.
Maybe nothing happened yet.
Maybe. But he was on there for a long time. Was he pee? Maybe he sits down to pee.
He might have been sitting down to pee. And he might have just been trying to get away from his wife, maybe. And so he was just, like, taking some extra time.
Right. And sitting on the toilet bare-assed for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But then the guy...
Haven't you ever seen This Is 40? Paul Rudd totally did that because he was just playing on his iPod or iPad.
That's true.
Apparently it's a thing.
And then Stoner Dude in the outhouse totally did not wipe.
He might just have forgotten.
Maybe their hunting instincts come in.
He was so stoned that he was like, nothing happened. I forgot. There's a noise. He's distracted.
What was the point of the stoners, by the way? What was the point of having two stoner characters?
There's just a lot of weird stereotypes going on in this movie.
I'm confused by the characters being friends, because they all seem very different.
Yes.
The stoner couple seem fine and well-suited for each other, but no one else seemed very into the fact that they were smoking pot the whole time.
It's really interesting to me, because I've never watched these movies back to back, or really in any type of order.
Yeah.
I feel like. And I'm like, I find myself being really bored of these movies, watching them back to back, because they all start out with what happened in the movie before it.
Right.
And
for no reason. Absolutely no reason.
It totally loses my attention.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I always lose what happens in the first 20 minutes of these movies because I'm just, like, bored. Because I just watched the one before it, so obviously right. I know what happened.
It's a previously on. Previously on. Friday the 13th.
It's like, I don't need that while I'm binge watching.
No. Yep.
But that's it's like part of the movie.
Episode. Yeah. That's what I said last episode. I'm like, this isn't good for binge watching because it's very much like, oh, remember when you watched that movie 2 years ago? Here's how it ended.
Yeah. And they're all so similar that it's like these movies just seem really redundant. And I feel like maybe they didn't start getting exciting or different until they started getting like stupid and weird.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, it does kind of make sense for the time because in the 80s, like, VHS tapes weren't even really a thing yet. And if they were, they're in the very early stages and only rich people had them. So if you watched a movie and then a year later were watching the sequel, you had no way to revisit that old movie. Or it's possible that you didn't even watch the first one and you're just jumping into the sequel and have no way to watch the first one. So that's probably why they did it, because it's like, here's what happened. But yeah. in this particular movie, it makes absolutely no sense. There's no reason for showing how part two ended, because it does not continue on from there. Not in any actual way where it's necessary to see how the previous one ended. It's not like those characters are in this one.
Exactly. And it definitely feels like a straight to TV movie or something. Like, right. No other movies that we're really into do that. And even in this time period, you know?
Yeah, but there wasn't a lot of sequels then. In the 80s, that's when sequels really started to...
Nightmare on Elm Street didn't do this, though.
No, they didn't.
Halloween didn't do this.
It kind of did.
Well, with the first one, but the first and the second are, like, legit, they happen in the same night.
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
It might not have been a thing, but this was also, like, this started in 1980. Like, that's really early. So, I don't know. Maybe they're just trying something out.
For five movies or four movies.
Well, so far it's just four. Well, did they do it with four?
Yeah, the guy retells the whole story at the beginning of Jason.
Yeah, I guess he does.
And then they do flashbacks.
I mean, I'm not defending it. I think it's really annoying. I'm just trying to think of why at the time that might have been helpful. And
yeah.
Maybe it was. But back to just thinking about the beginning, like, okay, so in part two, we left off with Ginny being carried out on a stretcher, and Paul was, we don't know where, and then we forgot to talk about how Ted was still at the bar, so Ted never came back from the bar, presumably, and we just see Ginny getting carried out on the stretcher, and she's asking for Paul, and we don't know where Muffin or Butterscotch, whatever the fucking dog's name, what happened to them either. So it's like, why show that if you're not going to give us any kind of closure? I was really kind of like holding off on talking a lot about the ending because I thought maybe three would resolve it because I really didn't remember three. But they didn't. They didn't resolve it at all.
They don't resolve anything.
They just show the end.
And then they don't resolve anything throughout the whole movie. And then I know that I'm jumping to like the very end. But then Mrs. Voorhees fucking jumps out of the lake and I know it's supposed to be a throwback to the first one, but it makes zero sense because Chick is definitely way dead and never comes back.
Well, and she was going crazy. I think it was supposed to be, what's the main girl's name?
But she doesn't know because she's got no relation to the lady in the first one.
Yeah, she would have no idea who Mrs. Voorhees is.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. No, it makes zero sense. And I was watching it and I was like, oh, God.
We just need to, but here's the point. Like, at this point in the sequence, in the franchise, we can just appreciate these movies not making any sense because
I appreciate it a lot more when I'm not watching them one right after another.
Yeah. No, it's really hard. It's really hard. And I didn't mention this, but I did mention it on Twitter because I was very excited. My grandmother came over right as I was finishing up this movie and I didn't want to turn it off. And my grandma actually was probably the only family member who liked horror movies, but she liked old horror movies. You know, she really liked like Alfred Hitchcock and things like that. Murder mysteries. She loves murder mysteries. Like, no one else in my family really watches them, but my Nana would always watch horror movies with me. Tame ones, but still horror movies. So when she came in, I was like, I'm not going to turn this off. She can handle this. It's not even that scary, really.
Yeah.
Or gory. Like, I was surprised at how little gore there was in this. But she did watch the last like 15 minutes with me, and she even put the 3D glasses on because I had a couple pairs sitting out. Oh my God, it was hilarious and amazing, and I really wish I got a picture of it.
I wish you would have.
She was doing stuff like this. I'll do my best Nana impression. Oh! Oh! Oh, jeez. Oh! Oh, she better run.
Oh, that's my favorite.
My 88-year-old grandma is better than yours, I'm just saying.
I love that so much.
I love her. She's the greatest in the whole world. Shout out to Grams.
What up, Grams? Anyway,
what up? She totally listens. No, she doesn't listen. She has no idea what a podcast is. I didn't even try to explain it to her. It's too confusing. She still calls a cell phone a cellophone. It's really cute.
Adorable.
Adorable. Okay.
So anyway, obviously we're very taken by these films and feel like we have so much to talk about because we keep getting distracted. But yeah, I don't know. Like, they're fun and I enjoy them, but I'm having a hard time watching them back to back, to be totally honest. And it's interesting. I didn't think that this would be an issue.
I kind of am enjoying it.
Really?
Yeah, like the beginning's kind of annoying when they revisit everything, but beyond that, I like kind of like to watch them one after another because I never did that before. And I think, not that there's really a story, but you can kind of see how Jason evolves, which is kind of fun.
That is fun because dude's definitely wearing khakis in part three. And I'm like, skinny dude wearing khakis with a crazy head.
Well, and in part two, all the teenagers. In part two, where he's clumsy and messing up, in part three, he's a lot more confident.
Mm-hmm.
But he still seems very human. And not to jump ahead, but in part four, he's very much beyond that already. So it's kind of cool to see. And it doesn't feel... It feels like an evolution. It doesn't feel like, oh, all of a sudden he's this and all of a sudden he's this. It does flow. And that's probably the only thing that these films do really well is show an evolution of Jason. Coming from a weak little boy to a man trying to have his vengeance to like this killing machine monster.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to watch that evolution. There's not much else in terms of evolution of these films other than like, strangely enough, I think the characters are more interesting and have more
not dimension characters, I guess.
Yeah, they're just more interesting to watch. There's more interesting interactions between the characters, whereas before it's like, here's character A and here's character B, and they're just playing a board game. Like there's nothing like happening between the characters. Whereas this film has a lot of stuff happening between the characters. You know who the characters' names, you know their personalities, you know how they interact with one another. And granted, it's a very like childish way to write characters because they're very, very one-dimensional and have very little background, but at least there's something there to keep you going, keep you interested. Whereas the first two films, they don't have that. So the third film succeeds more in that for me, and the fourth film even more so, I think. So at least there's that. That sort of is developing, but I mean, there's so many different if you look at the writing credits, it's like, you know, 3 credits for character writing and 2 credits for screenplays. It's like, it's a lot of writers. It seems like too many writers. But I guess you do what you have to do.
There's really just 2, right? And then the other 2 are only credited for character creation, which I just thought like maybe they just created Jason Voorhees, but...
Well, Sean S. Cunningham, yes. Because he was one of the original writers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's still, like, Carol Watson is a screenplay writer in 3, and in 4, she's a character writer, or character development writer. So it's not like it's the same writers over and over again doing the characters. It seems like it's changing a lot, and people are switching spots, and some people are leaving, and new people are coming on. It doesn't seem like there's a real, I don't know, rhyme or reason to who's writing these things. It's like whoever they can get to write them that maybe has done it before, they're throwing them in there. So it seems a little sloppy, and it looks a little sloppy, but I don't know. It's better than what it was, I think. It's at least more interesting.
They're growing. They're learning.
The first time I watched Friday the 13th Part 1 this year, the first time I watched it this year, not the first time I watched it ever, I almost fell asleep. And I had to stop and watch the rest the next day. Because I was just like, ugh, something happened. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Kills aren't even that fun. It's just, ugh. Yeah. But this one, these movies held my attention.
Definitely, 3 and 4 are definitely probably my favorite. 4 mostly just because of Crispin Glover and his
oh my God.
Sweet moves.
Okay. Oh, we can get to that in a minute. All right, so what else do I have? Yeah, so the 3D thing is hilarious. They're just really trying to get that in there.
Definitely, that is definitely the element of why this is one of my favorite Friday the 13th, is because, yeah. Solely because of the 3D implications.
Well, it's just so excessive. They go so beyond where they need to add these 3D elements.
I feel like that's a telltale of the actual movies themselves, though.
Yeah, it is.
Sure. It's definitely a trend that you see. You know?
No, but the hammock scene I thought was really kind of funny, where she grabs a Fangoria magazine and she opens the page to, like, a Tom Savini story, and then just gets it. The same way Kevin Bacon gets it in the first movie.
Yeah.
She notices blood dripping on her from above her, looks up, and then she gets it from underneath. And I just noticed, like, Jason really likes to stab through things. He doesn't like to stab directly as much. He really likes the surprise element.
I mean, he's definitely better at that, too, because he has more successful kills that way. When he tends to face people head on, he is not as successful.
Yeah.
You know, like, he has immediate success with those surprise kills. But when people can see him, he has a bit of an issue.
Yeah. It's an interesting model. But I guess it makes it more fun to watch, for sure. And it's always interesting in these movies how they set up the bodies after, you know, they're never quite where you left them. He likes to move them around and place them places that are going to shock and confuse people. And then he can kind of come up from behind. You know, he uses his kills as a way to distract from further kills, mm-hmm. You know? There's that in the first one, too. It's like he watched his mom do it. And it is always the body swinging down at the right moment, you know?
That clever guy. He's definitely a theatrical murderer.
Well, that was the thing in Halloween. Like, if you think about the first Halloween, you know, he swings down from the closet when they walk in. It's very well timed, but not incredibly believable that would happen. But it seems like originally they borrowed that from Halloween, and now they kind of made it their own thing, where in every movie there's a surprise, like, swinging down. I don't remember if there was in Part 3, but there definitely was in Part 1 and 2.
I don't remember. They're kind of all blending together.
I know, right? They totally do. It's hard to do two at a time because, yeah, it's a little bit excessive.
I'm literally like, wait, is it in Part 1 where she's doing this? I mean, not Part 1, Part 3 or Part 4 where this murder happens? Is it in Part 3 where the chick is just, like, running around? I think it's in Part 3 where she's, like, she runs upstairs, she's looking for someone, and then she sees people murdered, and then she's literally just like, ah! She's not, like, running. She's just, like, waving her hands, kind of freaked out.
That was 2. We talked about it.
Very slowly walking down the stairs. I'm pretty sure it happened in 3 also.
I didn't see it in 3. Maybe
it might have been 4. I'm having a problem distinguishing. No, it was 4.
It's all of them.
I think it was 4 because I watched it yesterday. Yeah. Where she's like, she goes upstairs to look for someone. And then she's just like, it's like the most unenthusiastic. She doesn't really run anywhere. She's just like awkwardly walking.
There's a lot of that in all of these movies. Yeah. I can think of that happening in at least 2 of the 4 movies we've seen so far. It's a normal Friday the 13th trope.
A normal that occurrence.
Women are stupid and scream and stand there like dummies.
When like it's all dummies. The guys that get taken out first.
Yeah. So, yeah, the hammock death was a good one. I also liked the handstand death.
Yeah.
Where he's just walking around on his hands for whatever reason.
Because why not?
Well, he's excited. He just got laid, you know. He's ready.
I know that's my first go-to. The handstand,
I know when I'm excited.
The walking handstand.
All the time. My favorite. get lucky, walk around on your hands.
Yep.
Everyone does that.
Makes sense.
But right down the middle, that was cool. But apparently, this movie was supposed to have it was going to have an X rating because of all the gore in it. So they had to cut a lot of it out. And so apparently the gore was too realistic. There was like guts spilling out and blood running everywhere.
I want to see that version.
I know, right? Because this was really not gory at all. It was really tame. It was just as, it was less, I feel like it was more tame than the second movie was.
I agree. There wasn't a lot of anything going on.
No, I'm not exactly sure. Well, I know why, but I'm not sure why they couldn't have added something else in there.
Yeah.
It was a little too tame. Also, I have a question. When Shelley scared Vera for the very last time, when he's wearing the hockey mask and he's in the water and he grabs her ankle,
mm-hmm.
he has some kind of arrow gun. It's not a crossbow. But it's harpoon, baby? Is that what a harpoon is?
I thought a harpoon was the long thing. Like,
I don't know. It's some kind of
thing. Like used in the sea.
Where arrow, yeah, but it's like a gun, but an arrow shoots out, but it's not a crossbow. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think it's a harpoon. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a harpoon. So, because it makes sense, because he's in the water. So harpoon, right? Anyway.
That does make sense. That's very logical.
It's a legit...
Spear gun.
Harpoon. It's a legit spear gun.
Yeah.
Because Jason uses it.
Yeah.
He's just running around with a fucking spear gun in his bag of tricks.
Shelley doesn't really understand a lot of life things.
But how does he own that?
He probably doesn't own it. He probably found it around the house.
Such a random, like, bag of tricks. And he doesn't want anyone to look at his bag of tricks. He's such a weird character. They always have to have, like, a fuck-up guy in these movies. There's always a guy that's just totally...
I'd say Shelley takes the cake. Up.
Yeah, he really does. He's something else, that Shelley.
Shelley kind of reminds me of Franklin in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where he's, like,
minus
slightly...
Minus the wheelchair.
Minus the wheelchair, because he's, like, really just, like, annoying. He's just, like, always there.
Yeah.
I think Franklin's more annoying, though.
Franklin is annoying, but it's mostly because of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That scene drives me fucking nuts. And I'm not at all sad when he gets it after that.
Me either.
Like, it is your time, bro.
He's so whiny.
Yeah.
At least Shelley's not whiny. Shelley's definitely self-deprecating and whatever, but at least he's not Franklin.
All right, let's move on. Let's get out of here. Let's talk about the next one.
The final chapter.
That is what I want. Well, wait. There was one more thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Why is Debbie pregnant in this movie?
Because
there's a character, they make her pregnant, and she talks about it nonstop for like the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then never again, we don't care about it at all. And I totally forgot which one was pregnant after they get out of the van.
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't even think I noticed it, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, I can't smoke. I'm pregnant. Oh, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. And then never again do we care about it. Like, why do you even bother making her pregnant? What's the point of that? I don't understand the point of that. It's not like we get emotionally invested in her being pregnant either, because we kind of forget about it. I don't know.
They were probably just like, oh, let's make one of them pregnant. And then
But not look pregnant, because that would be too troubling, probably, to watch someone get murdered.
Yeah, and then they just forgot about it.
It's they do that a lot in Friday the 13th movies.
They forgot about their writing.
They set shit up, and then they just forget about it. It's their favorite thing to do. What else? Oh, and then also, when Chris is in the woods with her boyfriend, what's his name, Rick or whatever? I think it's Rick. Is it Rick? I made that up. Yeah, Rick. Hey, I remembered it. When she's in the woods with Rick and she's kind of explaining her history with this house and how she felt like she had to go back and she spent the night in the woods after she got in a fight with her parents and then she got attacked and then she couldn't remember anything. Isn't that fucking stupid?
Yes.
Like, I don't... why set it up that way? I don't understand the point of that, because she's just... I don't know. Like, okay, so you somehow escaped. They keep doing that They did that at the end of 2. They somehow escaped. You never know why. Don't worry about the most interesting part of the movie. You don't need to know how it ended up this way, do you? It's just, it's such a cop-out. I don't like that. There needs to be more.
There's just a lot of things that they do that, you're right, it's just kind of like, oh, we gotta end this. Let's wrap this up real fast. Let's
wrap this up. But this is like, they try to set up something interesting. They try to set up somehow this relates to the previous movies. But they didn't quite get there. There's like, they started it, but they didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Where she was somehow attacked by Jason before, but
that thought was never finished.
But somehow she got out of it, and she doesn't remember how, and her parents don't want to talk about it. It doesn't seem realistic to me. If that happened to somebody, there would be cops involved. There would be
nobody wants to talk about it.
It's like, why even bother adding that element if you're not going to complete the thought behind it? So that's kind of annoying. Those are the only things. I forgot to talk about those things. So. We can move on now, unless you have more to add.
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Cool. So let's get into part 4. Friday the 13th, part 4 from 1984. I'm sorry, the final chapter from 1984, directed by Joseph Zito, who also did The Prowler. Screenplay written by Barry Cohen. All right. So let's get into this movie. Excuse my paper rustling sounds for a moment.
The Magic of Crispin Glover is what this movie should really be called.
It's so weird.
I just want to know if that's a thing, because nobody seems... Loudest chair squeak ever.
Sorry.
He has the loudest chair ever.
He does.
He needs some WD-40. If he's going to be in that room when you're recording, you need to make him WD-40.
He needs some WD-40 for the chair.
And he needs to wear a face mask so we can't hear his breathing.
I told Amy about when I was listening to that track and I just could hear you breathing. And I was like, holy cow, he's the loudest breather ever. Okay.
So, silent mouse. He needs a silent mouse. He needs some sort of respiration device that will keep us from hearing him breathing.
It's true.
And he needs to WD-40 his chair.
Oh, I need to stop yawning. Jeez Louise.
Talking to you, Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
Get your shit together, Steve. I know you can't hear me. That's the only reason I said that.
That's hilarious.
Anyway.
Back to Crispin.
Oh my god.
The thing that's so weird about it is nobody seems weirded out.
No.
Everyone's just like, oh, that's just him. He's dancing.
Oh my god. We can't just jump into the dancing though.
Come, it's the best part of the movie.
It is so weird. It's so weird. Why is it like that?
They're like, this is how Jimmy rocks it. Jimmy asked you to dance, get up there.
So it's legit how he dances, I guess. That's his thing that he does.
Or it was a director choice,
and
which
kudos. We just get to look at it.
Joseph Zito.
It just gets to be something we enjoy. They knew he danced like that, and they chose to put that in the film on purpose. They did it on purpose. They wanted it in there. Someone saw him dancing and said, now that's something I want in my movie.
Is there like a fun fact to that or something? Like, why? What happened here?
I don't really know because, again, my research is flighty this episode. But I did read that... This is how he danced, and he was actually dancing to an AC/DC song. I think Back in Black was the one he was actually dancing to, and they dubbed in a different song, but which might make a little bit more sense to why it's so off from the music.
That makes so much more sense.
I feel like they wanted it to be really weird. I don't understand the point of it. I think Crispin Glover is supposed to be the fuck-up in this movie, right? He's supposed to be... Although I feel like Teddy is more of a fuck-up than Crispin Glover is, but I don't know. Not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that he's got the moves.
Well, let's get into that part. Let's slowly ease our way in there. So the beginning sequence of this movie is better is better than the other movies, where they're not just showing the same scenes over and over again. It is a continuation, but at least it starts where it ended and then moves on from there. It's not like, I don't know. I liked the way they did this one better. Because Jason's dead in the on the floor in the barn, like he ended in part three.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is brought to a hospital, and there's a creepy coroner who's like a pervert, and for some reason loves watching aerobicized videos.
Yeah, really weird in the, ones.
In the dark, in a room with other dead with dead bodies. Not other dead bodies, he's not dead yet. but I feel like that's not something normal to do. It's
I feel like I've never seen aerobic videos like that before, except for in this movie.
Steve,
I know
that chair. I'm throwing it in the garbage.
It's so loud.
I'm gonna throw it in the garbage. And Merry Christmas to you, Steve. You get a new chair. It's it's so loud. So coroner dude is in his room with two dead bodies, at least two dead bodies. He looks and talks about two different bodies in this room. And it's dark in there, and he's watching these aerobic videos.
It's so weird.
It's very weird. And he also talks about possibly having sex with the dead girl in the room, which is
so weird.
Very inappropriate. And not funny. Like, they laugh it off when he says that.
And you're like, nope.
No, that's not. It's not a thing that people should allow.
Nope.
To be a joke. It's not a joke. It's fucked up. But he fucking gets it. His name's Axel. Yeah, he fucking gets it. But he does say. So when he's making out with the nurse, which I don't understand why this nurse is making out with him.
Cause seriously, what's her deal?
She seems completely disgusted by him, but then she comes into this dark room and is like, I just want to watch the news.
Yeah, no, you don't. You want to get some.
You want to
get weird, some. Creepy, aerobic guy.
Why? I don't know why, because he's disgusting. He's revolting. I don't understand the point of that. But then they're making out, and then Jason's hand twitches, and dude bro says something like, holy Jesus, jumping Christmas shit. He just keeps screaming, Jesus Christmas, Christmas Jesus shit, shit Christmas Jesus. Which I thought was really funny. And then that's one of the best kills of the when he gets it with the saw and the head twisting. Oh, that was a good kill.
That was a good kill. That was solid.
There's some good kills in this movie. This is when the gore starts getting pumped up. And I remember why I love these movies so much. This movie helps me remember. Like,
that's what I'm saying. They definitely get better as they go on. But like in a bad way. Like in a cheesy way. Not like...
Oh, so cheesy.
Yeah.
But that's the fun of it. Like, this is when it's like fun to watch these movies because shit gets crazy. Jason gets real nuts with it. I like that. I like the kills in this movie a lot. They're a lot of fun to watch.
They're super fun. Just like, I mean, when it takes place in a hospital, you already have that creepy element.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of just like magnified by all the fun kills that happen.
Yeah. So here's the interesting thing. So when they're driving and they pass the kids in the movie, they're driving to the house that they're going to be renting out. They pass Pamela Voorhees' tombstone on the side of the road.
Oh, I didn't.
Which
I don't think I noticed that. I must have been looking.
They zoom in on it and they get creeped out by it. And I'm confused by that. Who paid for a Pamela Voorhees tombstone? Why is it on the side of the road and not somewhere normal? I'm not quite sure how that happened. Like, it just seemed very random to me. I was like, I get what you're going for, but that's not where it would be. And that's not what it would look like. Who's going to pay for that nice fancy headstone she has there? No one's going to pay for that. She doesn't have family.
Again, something that the writers just didn't really think about, but they wanted to throw it in thinking it would be a good idea.
Yeah. And then the chick on the side of the road, the hitchhiker chick, which apparently her name on the original script was Fat Girl, in case you didn't know that.
Okay.
Little tidbit for you.
Little fun fact.
Lovely. Which is terrible. Why are we doing that? She's eating a banana and then totally gets it. It's extra disgusting because the banana's like hanging out of her mouth. Like the chewed up banana's hanging out of her mouth and she just fucking gets it. I don't know. It's an interesting death scene. I literally like the death. If it wasn't for the death scenes in this movie, I don't know that I would have liked it. But cue in baby Corey Feldman in this movie.
Who saw his first pair of boobs ever.
Did he?
Yeah. In this movie.
He is a treasure to behold in this film.
Yeah.
I love 80s Corey Feldman.
Who doesn't?
Today, Corey Feldman, I could do fucking without that shit, but 80s Corey Feldman's pretty fucking 80s awesome.
80s Corey Feldman is solid.
Super solid.
And adorable.
Super adorable. I love how he, like, creates masks. See? Characters. Interesting things that characters do that come into play later.
Exactly.
It's really easy to do it. You just plan it out ahead of time. Don't just fly by the seat of your pants when you make a movie. And then there you go. So they're starting to do more of that now, which is nice. So he creates these elaborate, really cool masks, which I don't know that I believe that a kid his age could possibly do that unless he's some sort of, like, artistic genius.
Yeah.
Because these are, like, super high caliber, like, latex.
Super awesome looking. Yeah.
Really cool. What was that, like, monster thing with the arm?
I'm surprised they don't, like, take advantage of that more. Someone should be selling these things.
Well, Tom Savini, they got Tom Savini back for this movie. That's why the gore and the masks and the...
It's solid looking.
The graphics are so solid. We have Tom Savini back, and luckily he doesn't kill a fucking snake in this one, so that's always nice. But yeah, I think that's just why everything looks so awesome, and it's so much fun. Gory, and yeah. It's kind of fun that he got to play around with making other masks and other creatures too, which is not really part of this movie, but a fun little add-on he probably got to do, you know. The Kill by Kill podcast sent us a tweet saying that they want, they're hoping that we can explain how Jason became an Olympic-style swimmer in this movie.
He's had a lot of time for training, okay.
I agree. Like, I think that part's kind of credible. Because he lived in the woods his whole life. Like, yeah, he almost drowned when he was a kid. But
I think that's the only thing that kind of throws it off is that, like, I appreciate the fact that Jason grows up in a camp, basically. And so he's very, like, mountain man-y. But yeah. A thing about his character is that he's also terrified of water because of the whole drowning thing. So I don't know how this is really the only time that we ever see him in the water, isn't it? Other than like him jumping out in the first movie.
Well, I don't think that's true.
I always thought that part of his character was like that he was scared of the water.
Oh, is it? Yeah, maybe that's just something I didn't catch.
Because of the whole drowning thing.
Well, then maybe that's why they're confused about it, because I think they know a lot more about Friday the 13th than we do. They go through, like, the Kill by Kill podcast goes through, like, in super rich detail of the Friday the 13th movies. That's something we're going to do. We're not that kind of podcast. And I seriously don't have the attention span to do that, which is why we do two movies in a podcast, because I can't even talk about a movie
for an hour.
Like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes we can, but most of the times we can't.
Yeah.
So
I just think this is another writing instance where they thought it would be cool, and so they just kind of wrote it in.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know. It makes sense that he would be afraid of water, but at this point, he's a fucking monster, right? Once he resurrects in the hospital, he's not Jason anymore. He's not the Jason Voorhees we know in the previous movies. He is now...
That's true.
He is no longer a human being. This is... Okay, so that's how I view it. Like, the first movie, he's like a kid. He is an innocent. He sees his mother killed. He becomes a monster in the second... Not a monster. He becomes a killer in the second movie because he watched his mom die. Mm-hmm. And he watched his mom kill all these people.
He's very human-ish.
Yeah.
And at least the first two. In the third one, he's definitely transforming. And by the fourth one, he's basically died and come back to life.
Right. And in the second movie, he's clumsy. He holds the knife upside down.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's easily distracted. And just trying to figure shit out. In the third movie, he seems more calculated. He definitely is a little bit stronger. He's more self-assured with his weapons.
Yes.
But he dies at the end. So the fourth movie, he's not human anymore. He becomes this other creature that's 100% motivated by just killing teenagers, like by killing kids.
Yeah.
Like that's his main MO. He'll kill anything in his path, and he's now invincible. He can't be killed now. He's not human. So maybe it's like showing him being reborn a lot of times. Like, I'm going to get totally... This is I sincerely doubt this was thought about from a writer's perspective, but I'm just going to get analytical about it. In the water scene, he could be reborn. He could be like a baptismal type thing where he emerges from the water. He can now swim. He has no problem. He can breathe underwater, obviously, because he's under there for a really long time and she has no idea he's there when she kills him, when he kills her.
Yeah.
So to me, it's easy to overlook that because they already showed him rising from the dead. Like, what's more unbelievable than that?
Right.
There's nothing more unbelievable than that. We have to just kind of accept that he's become this creature and he's no longer a man. And so he has special capabilities that humans don't have. That's kind of how I look at it.
He's Superman. So,
he is. In his own way, he's a crazy, murderous Superman that can't die. So, although I don't, not that I necessarily think that's the attempt in the storytelling,
sure.
It can easily be seen that way, I think. There's nothing that lends itself to disbelieving that theory
I can see. I can get behind it.
That's what I'm going to go with. That's my answer to your question, Kill by Kill podcast. I don't know if that's something that you will agree with, but feel free to tweet at us about that.
So I think it's a fun fact that Ted actually legit got high while he was filming. he thought it was going to be a good idea to legitimately smoke pot.
And then he realized it wasn't.
Not a good idea.
You know, Paris Geller does a similar thing in the Gilmore Girls. In a Gilmore Girls episode, she gets drunk and soon thereafter realizes being drunk acting is not easy to do.
Oh, Paris.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Just, you know, circling back to Gilmore Girls like I do. Okay, so there's a lot of boobs in this movie. A lot more boobs than the other movies.
Yeah.
Lots of them. So lots more gore and that kind of thing happening.
All the boobs.
This is starting to really feel like a Friday the 13th movie.
That's what I'm saying. They figure it out as they go along. And then by the time you get into now, they make the Friday the 13th remake and it's just gold.
I'm not gonna lie. This is what these movies are good for. They're not artistic. They can't be those kinds of movies.
No.
They can't be deep.
We can't expect more from these movies than what they are.
That's 100% true. Okay, so then we eventually meet Rob, who is someone's brother that died already in a previous movie.
He's killing me.
I love that scene. It's so funny. No, he has a lot of like weird things that he does. Like when he meets them, they're like, oh, you're a hunter. What are you hunting? He says bear. Like, you're in the woods and you're making up a reason why you're a hunter. Why are you saying bear? Wouldn't you say deer or something normal that people hunt? It just seems strange. Bear is a strange choice for an animal you're going to choose to fake hunt. His death scene is
hilarious. However, it's actually based on a real death, the director read an article, right, about a guy who was stabbed. Was it in New York City?
I believe so.
I think he was stabbed in New York City, and apparently, like, he was screaming, like, please stop hurting me. Please stop killing me. So while this is really a funny death on screen, actually based on a real life story, which is weird.
It's done in a way that doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, saying it when you're not sure if anyone can hear you is one thing, but saying it when there's someone standing right in front of you is quite another. He's killing me. It's killing me. And then
as Trish is like, see ya.
Like, here's the thing. He tells her to run. He says, run, run. He knows that he's not going to get out of that alive, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with her running. I have a problem with her running and then stop running. Why are you going back? I don't understand why she goes back after he's obviously dead.
Because she loved him so much.
She didn't love him. She knew him for a day.
I know. Like, but one-dimensional characters.
I think it was more like she didn't want to be alone, maybe, or She kept leaving her brother, too. Why are you running around with this dude you don't know and leaving your little brother behind every 5 seconds? I had a problem with that.
I did, too, because I would never choose. My brother would be protected as much as I could protect him.
Yeah, you're going to abandon your brother and go off with some random dude you just met?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that is a wise choice. It's a very stupid choice.
Nope.
Luckily, her brother is smart. She is not. Let's talk about some of the good deaths, though. I did like the boat. The boat death was fun. And still kind of reminiscent of the underneath kills what he does. People are laying in things and he puts his knife from underneath and gets them. He also really likes window deaths. There's window deaths in every movie. He likes to throw dead bodies through windows. That happens in almost every movie.
He really likes the surprise attacks.
Yeah, but his mother did that in the first movie, too. She threw dead bodies through windows, which is completely unbelievable because that woman weighed maybe 105 pounds.
Whatever, Mrs. Bodybuilder. Mrs. Voorhees is totally a bodybuilder.
She had to have been. She had to have been some kind of mystical, clean, constantly clean bodybuilder that's able to...
I maintain the poncho theory.
I seriously don't. I can't buy into the poncho theory. I can't.
Nothing about these movies is real.
Like, I can't... A poncho would not keep your boots clean. A poncho would not keep your pants clean.
Just a change of boots, and she wears those things that fishermen wear when they go.
You also said there was some sort of elaborate pulley system involved. She would have had to take time to do that.
I got nothing.
To devise a pulley. We can't keep getting into Mrs. Voorhees. I can't with her.
The only real things about these movies is that one dude smoked weed, and that Corey Feldman was terrified when he got attacked through the window.
So, something else to note about our director here. I have a hard time. So, Joseph Zito, I think, is kind of an asshole and also a dick. Both. An asshole and a dick. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm delirious from lack of sleep. It seemed like a lot of the people on set did not like him. It seemed like he was very, he didn't really care about the actors very much. And apparently, when they were shooting the water scene, the boat scene, the actress, Judy Aronson, developed hypothermia due to freezing water temperatures because Zito refused to let her out of the water in between takes.
Holy cow.
And there's also, like, quite a few other issues that run-ins between Joseph Zito and the other actors. So Ted White, who played Jason in this film, did not like Corey Feldman. And there was quite a bit of issue between them also. But Feldman claims he was a...
No.
Well...
He called him the meanest goddamn little kid.
Ted White said that Corey Feldman was, like, a shitty, annoying brat on set. He said he was bad. But Corey Feldman claims he was an asshole because the director was a dick that didn't care about the actors and treated them like shit. So, yeah. Maybe. Can you fault a kid actor? Like... Fuck. You gotta have a little bit of patience for kid actors. That's like a fucking tough existence as a child. I don't know how kids do it. That's why they're all fucked up when they're older. A lot of the time. Not so much now. I feel like something changed in that they're treating children actors better, so they're like less fucked up when they're older. But
I don't know. I feel like the thing that changed is that most of the kid actors now are like from England. They're like British actors.
Maybe. That's true. There's a lot of, like, kid British actors now.
And they're so good.
But when Ted White, who played Jason, and Corey Feldman had their window scene where Jason comes through the window and grabs Corey Feldman's character, they practiced it and they timed it, so Corey Feldman knew when it was coming. But when they actually filmed it, Ted White decided to wait a few extra beats before going through the window. So Corey Feldman thought something was going wrong and just assumed it wasn't going to happen. So when he did burst through, he really scared the shit out of him. Like, legit scared the shit out of him. Well, maybe not legit. I don't know if Pooh actually was involved, but I'm also a little bit confused about the 1920s porn that they're playing.
There's a lot of stuff that confuses me about this film.
I'm not really sure what the point of that was, other than they were all just giggling and watching it. And Teddy's just like laughing hysterically watching this movie. I didn't even realize he was smoking pot till towards the end of that scene when he's actually smoking something, because he's just sitting there watching naked women and giggling like a child. Teddy's a fucking ass. I really don't like that character.
Yeah, he's weird. This whole movie seems like it's just got really weird characters. Obviously, the director, not everybody's favorite. People didn't get along. Crispin Glover was really difficult to work with. He would just, like, not want to do rehearsals and stuff. It was very interesting.
Where did Mom go?
Is that Mrs. Jarvis?
Yeah. Mrs. Jarvis just kind of, we assume, dies, but we don't see it. She just kind of disappears.
There's a part, like, apparently an alternative ending that shows what happens to Mrs. Jarvis.
So we just don't get to see it?
Yeah, like, her death is implied, but you don't see it. And so I guess there's actually an ending where she does die, or maybe you do see it, but I've never seen it.
I like how the dog Gordon doesn't die. That's good.
Very important.
Very important to us. But there is character development. It's just the characters are weird. Teddy is very, like, shitty. The evil twins are really shitty.
The evil twins are terrible.
They're really terrible. I don't know.
I think it's funny that they were Double Mint gum commercial girls.
Were they?
Yeah.
I don't find that very surprising. They look like Double Mint twins.
I think the one of them went in to read the audition and they were looking at her resume and were like, you have a twin sister? And she was like, yeah. And so I think that they just like put that in there.
Decided to use them both.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Let's talk about the ending here for a second, because this ending is very strange. So I was up with it until the very end. So Corey Feldman's character makes himself look like Jason as a boy, mm-hmm. based on a sketch that was in a newspaper article.
Yes.
That Dude Bro had in his pack.
Using his mad skills.
Using his mad makeup skills, which he looks pretty good. He looks kind of pretty Jason-esque.
Yeah.
Confuses Jason, distracts him, goes after the sister one last time, and he stabs him. And then stabs him over and over and over and over again. And then becomes Jason. Like, Jason goes into his body. I've never seen 5 or 6, but my assumption is it's not going to continue this way.
I don't think so.
Where Jason can hop from body to body. Although I'm not sure about that. That will be maybe a continuing thing we can talk about next week's episode when we talk about 5 and 6, because I'm really confused by it. But you got that, right? When he looks up at the camera and then the sister's real concerned about it in the hospital.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like they're setting up something, but they...
But this is, but like, supposed weird. To be the final movie. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if 5 is, like, is him jumping from body to body, if that's a legit... I feel like I've heard about that from somewhere, but I'm not familiar with these movies enough to really know if that's a thing.
Yeah.
So that'll... But it's really weird.
I don't
it's
think really it weird. Is. I don't recall it being.
You don't recall it being a thing in part 5?
No.
That he can jump from body to body?
No. He's just Jason, right?
Yeah. What's that movie called where they can do that? Where they go, time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
What's that one? You know what I'm talking
about.
I do,
but I don't.
From body to body. He's a serial killer.
Oh.
Fuck.
Where he touches people, right? Like, you're walking down the street and he'll just jump from, like, one person to the other.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't.
Fallen.
There you go.
I knew it began with an F. I just couldn't, like, think of it. Fallen. It's kind of like Fallen. He just goes into the kid's body. Huh, that's weird.
It is weird.
I have a feeling that's not going to continue, but we'll see. They like to set stuff up and then not continue it the next movie. It's really weird. And these movies are made pretty close to one another. I think the biggest gap was 3 to 4, where it was like 82 to 84, I think. And the other ones were all like one after another every year. There was another one. So
I read something about the timeline, like even though the movies do take place like one right after the other, that the timeline doesn't make sense at all.
Well, I mean, you don't have to read anything to tell this.
That's very true. But I mean, like when you really think about it, it's like Rob is looking for vengeance. But like, I don't know. I don't can't even begin to explain it because it just makes no sense.
All right. So the ending in the first movie, she fights Mrs. Voorhees, goes off in a boat, and Jason attacks her. But no one else sees Jason attack her, and we're not sure if she was imagining it or not. In the second movie, the ending is that she gets pulled off in a stretcher, and we don't know what happens to all the other characters. It just ends.
Right. Doesn't something else happen? I said it in the last episode, because that's where you said it ended, but there was more for whatever I was watching on Hulu. It was literally the same exact thing from the first one where she's like
a close up of her head
where she's like, he's still there. And then it's the close up of the mom's head.
Yeah. She's in the hospital.
Yeah.
No. At the end of the second movie, she's just in the stretcher and they put her in the ambulance and she's screaming like, where's Paul? Where's Paul? That's the end of the second. And then they show the mom's head. And then at the end of the third movie, the girl goes crazy and she's in a boat. And for some reason, Mrs. Voorhees attacks her. And then that's the end of that one. It just isn't like the endings of these movies are really like
not
they
good.
Set up things that they set up things that they don't commit to in the next movie. So I guess it would be pretty commonplace for them to do that in the fourth movie as well.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. Yeah. So Crispin Glover is a psycho when they were filming this movie. Let's talk about Crispin Glover for a minute. Oh my god, I love him so much. And I hate him at the same time. I'm just so happy he exists. I'm so happy his dancing exists. It's my favorite gif of all time. I'm thrilled with the fact that he shut down filming. Because
of his boat. His yellow submarine.
His yellow submarine was in the lake. They had to stop filming so they could find it. And then he also just declined to rehearse at one point because he was in rain mode,
yep.
Whatever that means, and was unable to rehearse because of it.
It just makes his casting for that movie Willard all that more make sense.
It's so fucking weird. He's such a weirdo. I'm so happy he exists, but if I had to work with him, I'd probably want to kill myself. Like, could you imagine being an actor and having to deal with co-stars that, like, acted like that? It's so unprofessional and weird. It's so weird.
But I think it's just, like, a normal thing.
What's a normal thing? Being a fucking weirdo?
Yeah. Like, an actor being a really big weirdo. Not a surprising thing.
Well, I think it's normal if you're, like, a method actor and you get really into your character. But that's not what he's doing. He's just a fucking psycho.
People are pretentious. Some people are pretentious.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's like a Hollywood actor thing.
Yeah.
You would know all about that. You're so pretentious.
I'm pretty pretentious.
Just kidding. You're like the opposite of pretentious. You're like the sweetest person in the world.
Oh.
I love you. I love you so much.
I just love you so much.
We also did I did a poll on Twitter because Carly's been watching Gilmore Girls. She's been a devoted Gilmore Girls binger.
To the point where I almost didn't get to watch these two movies because I've just been binge watching Gilmore Girls.
We're slowly evolving into a Gilmore Girls podcast. So I did a poll because I don't know how much people hate that we talk about Gilmore Girls, but I also don't care that much. But I was like, should we talk about it in a separate episode? Should we talk about it at the end? Should we just stop trying to talk about it? And the consensus was we talk about it at the end. So let's do that. If you hate Gilmore Girls, please feel free to turn off the podcast. We love you. Thanks for dealing with it. Hopefully you listen next week. Okay, so Gilmore Girls. How are we doing with that, Carly?
So I am.
Where are you off?
Season 2. I'm on episode 19.
Wow.
That's
a lot of watching in one week.
I told you. I almost didn't watch these two movies because I was watching so much Gilmore Girls.
These are hour-long episodes. Well, 45 minutes.
Yeah, they are definitely long. But I was also, guys, I had the flu. Remember last week when I was coughing? I had the flu, apparently. So I also was in bed working from home for most of the week.
You had a reason.
Yeah, so that was fun. So I had, I had time. I had time to watch
the Gilmore Girls. So you're enjoying the show, needless to say.
I'm enjoying the show, and I'm really enjoying just, I know two people, you being one of them, who have watched the show the whole way through. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I know more, but we just don't talk about it. And my favorite part about watching this show is just texting you about it. Like, about the random things that I'm seeing, and, And so
I enjoy that as well. You can always text me about Gilmore Girls.
It's really
that
fun.
Goes for all of you. You can always talk to me about Gilmore Girls. It's always acceptable.
I'm getting to the point where I'm feeling really sorry for Dean because Rory is clearly making the terrible choice of being into Jess, who I know that you like.
You'll like him too, eventually.
He's fine. I don't dislike him, but like it's like one of those things where like when you're older, like you understand that like Dean is such a good guy that, like, he should make sense, but, like, you're young and you want to test the bad boy.
Yeah.
And so when...
That's kind of the consensus.
You know?
Like, Rory's boyfriends come as she needs them.
Yeah.
Like, they bring her different things that she needs at that point in time. So, yeah, Jess is a very complicated character, and he never is quite what you want him to be or right in the spot that you need him to be. So he's very frustrating, but he also is awesome, and at the beginning he's not, so I promise he gets better.
He's a dick.
But I will keep spoilers out of it. But he...
I really like the actor.
Kind of a dick.
He's great.
He
was Peter on Heroes.
Yep.
And he's on that new show.
This Is Us.
Yeah, with Mandy Moore. Yeah. He has a beard now.
Mm-hmm. He's also Rocky Balboa's son.
Yeah.
So.
He's done some things.
He has. He's a very good actor. I like him a lot.
And, of course, Dean, which it's very hard for me to call him Dean, and as you know, because he's Sam on Supernatural, and his brother is Dean, Jensen Ackles.
That is confusing.
So it's very weird.
Yeah.
And also, guys... Friday the 13th remake. Drop that again.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
It's because of Jared Padalecki.
It's the tie-in.
It's not for any other reason.
And that's how I first got introduced to Jared Padalecki was Friday the 13th remake. I didn't know him before that.
Oh, no, you didn't watch Supernatural?
I didn't watch Supernatural before that. And that's actually the reason why I started watching Supernatural was because of that. But funny story, this has nothing to do with Gilmore Girls or... Friday the 13th, but has to do with Supernatural because of Jensen Ackles. So he was in the My Bloody Valentine remake.
Okay.
And I remember I had never seen him before until I saw that movie. And me and my friend were watching it, and I said his name, and my friend was like, Gems and Apples? And so now that's like, I just call Jensen Ackles Gems and Apples because that's like just what I think of. But now these two actors who I never really... knew before I got introduced to by horror movies, by one really bad remake and one really great remake.
Well, there you go.
And now I watch Supernatural and Gilmore Girls.
Full circle. Is that show still on? It's not still
on,
is it?
Yeah, it's totally still on.
How?
It's like
how many seasons
11
is that?
Seasons.
That's insanity.
Can I tell you my favorite
That's
thing
crazy.
About it? Because, like, if they're not... All the episodes are not, like, home runs. Like, they're not great. But the thing that's so awesome about that show is the cast chemistry is super awesome, and you can totally tell while you're watching it. But they also just do a lot of really fun things while filming. Like, they have this weird, like, 80s style show, or they do like a film noir episode, or they have like a talk show. It's just like really interesting. They throw in really interesting styles of filming, or it's really, I don't know, that's my favorite part about the show. Like there's a lot of episodes I can do without, but like the really good ones are like really good. But anyway, Gilmore Girls.
You really went off on a tangent.
Little Jared Padalecki is such a baby.
I just know nothing about Supernatural, so I'll just take your word for it.
There's some really cool episodes, but I think the most frustrating thing about Gilmore Girls is how much, like, Luke and Lorelai are just, like, meant to be from the first season, and it hasn't happened yet, and it's not going to happen until, like, the end, probably, because that's just how shows go. It's frustrating.
I'm going to be quiet.
It's frustrating.
I'm going to be quiet on that. I don't want to tell you what
happens. I think I know what happens.
But I think you don't know what happens.
No, because I think...
based on what you just said.
Oh. Because I thought...
So...
I don't know. I thought I read something about it, but...
Reduce the expectations of what will happen and just let it be.
Okay. But Luke loves her times a million.
He does. He loves her times a million.
And she's an idiot and doesn't realize it. Well, she does kind of realize it because she gets jealous of him all the time.
I don't know.
She can't say
anything. You'll have to wait and see. What have I been watching, you ask?
What have you been watching?
Oh, I've been watching Westworld because I'm now obsessed with Westworld.
So good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I'm behind, but it's so good. I just started watching it like a few weeks ago, so I'm not caught up yet. But oh my god, it's so
good. That's amazing.
It's amazing. There's this video, I should post it on Twitter or Facebook or something, where they are like lip syncing. The characters are like lip syncing different popular quotes from movies and songs and things. It's hilarious, and you can tell that they just like love each other. They have that good chemistry you were just referring to. And that the show is just so good. It's so creative and interesting and just fun, and I love it so much. If you don't watch Westworld, you should.
It's so crazy. It beat Game of Thrones as most watched first season in HBO history.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I find that troubling because Game of Thrones is the best series of all time.
Well, Westworld. Coming in.
Westworld is also good.
Coming in to steal the show.
They can't steal it till Game of Thrones is over. There's only one more season left, Westworld. Fucking know your place. You can come in first after they're done.
Most watched first season.
All right. Yeah, the Game of Thrones first season wasn't super popular.
So, had a really high reputation, you know, like the creators behind it, really awesome. The Game of Thrones dude wrote the song, the opening song, which you can really tell, I think. Yeah. They sound very similar.
The when I was on the plane yesterday, I watched Suicide Squad, which was awful.
I liked it. I liked Suicide
no,
Squad.
No, you didn't. That movie was so awful.
Kylie. I totally did.
Like, how do you like that
Okay,
movie?
So you have to understand... you have to understand, I'm a huge comic book fan. I love comic books. And when I was little, Batman villains, my ultimate favorite thing. So I have been waiting since probably of 7 or 8 years old for a movie that featured Harley Quinn for years.
Okay. Totally understand that. She's
and
awesome.
So I just went into that movie completely open and completely excited about what was going to happen. I have zero, like, I understand people's problems with it. I understand that people didn't like it. I understand that the writing wasn't good. I understand that they changed a lot of things about it. But, like, at the heart of the movie, I had a really fun time watching it, and I really appreciated seeing all those characters on screen. I did not like the Enchantress. I will say that, which obviously she's, like, a huge part of the movie. But, like, I really just loved sitting there and being able to see all those villains on screen. I had a great time watching that movie.
I agree in that it's fun to see all the villains. And I agree, Harley Quinn is awesome.
Yes.
I think there's nothing wrong with the characters. The problem is with the story and the way they approached it. And, I mean, this movie is supposed to be 10 hours long. Like, I don't... There's no way around it. You can't just jump in like this.
I absolutely understand it.
This is not an entry-level story. Yeah. You can't just start here. It's troublesome. And they also... some characters get background stories and some don't. And they just didn't need all of the characters. The crocodile dude, I don't understand why that was a thing. And he was barely in the movie. There was no background. I didn't understand his history at all. I'm not a comic book person, so I need something more than that. If you're going to tell a story in a movie, you can't just assume everyone's a comic book watcher, reader.
And I get that 100%. I totally do. Like, I am not trying to, like, I support it and I understand.
You enjoyed this movie.
I did. I really did.
100% fine. It is not a good movie, though, Carly.
It's fine.
Like, it's not.
That's great. It's really I get bad. It. It's really I totally bad. Do. It's really awful. I understand like, that everything that you say absolutely has validity, and I am by no means trying to, like, defend it in any way. I just had a really great time watching it.
I didn't necessarily have a bad time watching it. I did have a hard time getting through the movie. Mm-hmm. I watched it from beginning to end, and I was, like, semi-interested mm-hmm. in what was happening. The trouble with it was that I didn't know what was happening most of the time, and I wasn't quite sure what their missions were. I'm not quite sure. It just wasn't well thought out. I think if they made it several movies, it might have been better. Mm-hmm. I think they just try to fit too much in. There's too many stories.
Things
that none of them are complete. It's like I have 10 ideas, and I'm going to shove them in a movie, but I can't fit all of the ideas in. So I'm just going to put tiny pieces of each story in mm-hmm. there and not complete any story at all. I was frustrated.
No, I absolutely understand that.
It is fun to watch. It's just
all over the place.
It's really all over the place. There's the concept is rough. I don't know if it was an editing issue or a time constraint issue or a money issue, but something had to be changed there. Anyway.
I gotcha.
It was fun to watch on a plane. It's good for a plane movie.
That would be a fun plane movie.
All right. We can close this out. Close this episode
Sounds
out.
Sounds good.
All right.
Join us next week when we talk Friday the 13th. What I don't know what they're technically called, so you take it from here.
Join us next week when we watch Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning, and Part 6, Jason Lives. So thank you to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song, Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit FinalGirlsHorrorcast.com for additional contact information for them. We are on Twitter, Final Girls HC, and Instagram and Facebook as Final Girls Horrorcast. Follow us, tweet at us, talk to us, interact with us. We like it.
We do.
And
it's fun.
That's it, my lovelies. We'll see you next week. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Whatever.
Have a good something.
Have a fun time.
God, we're so horrible. How are we getting worse? Okay.
I think, no, we've been good, but this is hard. This is a hard day.